You're listening to Around Comics, episode 237, brought to you by InStockTrades.com and Netflix.
Where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it ships and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests... You okay there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm all right. Sorry.
Where our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, you should certainly drop on by. Hey there, folks. Christopher Niesman here. Let's get you introduced to this week's all-new panel. Mr. Salazar is on vacation this week. He is on holiday.
Where is he?
Spending much-needed time with the fam. I think he had a barbecue or something to go to tonight.
Why wasn't...
Not of his fam. He wasn't
cooking. No, he was not barbecuing. No,
I think it's weird that we weren't invited to this barbecue. Isn't it?
Yeah, I thought you guys were his friends.
Yeah. Well, he said
awkward.
Yeah. All right, then. It's his uncle from Texas is in, who can make a mean rack of ribs.
There's probably like pit bull fights or something at it, so that's why we can't go. There's like a cougar fight that's going to be...
some gun running.
Like his aunt and his mom are fighting out, or like actual animal cougar?
They set up a pit to see how far across like a cougar can jump. Man. Can you jump this river, the Rio Grande?
And the people in Villa Park have never seen anything like this ever, so it's, you know...
Ninja stars getting thrown everywhere.
A lot of nunchuck battles, yeah. Patriotic nunchuck battles. But anyway, we have ample replacement for Sal, if such a thing actually exists, in Mr. Tim Seeley.
Hello.
Thank you for having
me back. I'm a little bit dry on the podcasting. It's been a while, so thanks for taking me.
Every time you've ever been on the show, I have not been on. This is
the
first
time. Yeah,
it's
kind
of
weird.
Really?
You'll just cancel me out. I'll just be like, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Tim has basically been our Tom replacement for the inferior Tom.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Slightly more hair on top, slightly less on the chin.
A little. Yeah.
I was going to say. I'm glad he said chin.
Yeah. on my balls.
Thanks, Tom.
No, I'm just
thanks,
sure
thanks, thanks for clarifying.
Yeah.
Next is Mr. Mike Norton.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's the big Tim Seeley.
Or well. Yeah, I'm the big Tim Seeley.
Or Tim is the little Mike Norton.
Yeah, I like to think of it that way.
Tim climbs
out as a little Mike Norton.
Tim climbs out of Mike's chest.
You guys are
like a bad 80s action figure.
Oh, you two totally are the Master Blaster of comics.
Absolutely. Oh, that's kind of weird.
That is kind of weird.
We get to look more like each other as years go on. I think that's the problem.
Once you lose weight, I gain weight. The more we stop caring.
Yeah, I mean, once you start,
we'll just look like Alan Moore. You'll be big Alan Moore. I'll be medium.
We'll just look like Alan Moore impersonators.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you say you guys start to look more and more alike, because it's not like you have these idiosyncratic looks. Like we both started wearing tuxedos and top hats. It's just like unkempt.
Pretty much
unkempt, hairy, long hair. But we started with the same facial hair, but. You know, Mike lost some weight, and then he looked more like me, and then he looks kind of like me and Wilson from House. Like a combination of
you
those
do have kind of have that Wilson.
Where do you get that? That's so weird.
Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah, cover off the chin, man. Like the eyes, you get Wilson eyes. Take your glasses off.
You do have Wilson eyes?
Yeah. Look at that. He's like Wilson.
At least he's not known as the guy from Dead Poets Society anymore.
Well, that's how I know him, actually. every time somebody says, you got Wilson eyes, I'm like, oh, you mean the guy from Dead Poets Society?
Great, thanks.
The guy that killed himself?
And finally, Mr. Tom Capers. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Before we get totally sidetracked here, I want to make sure and mention our sponsor. First of all, is InStockTrades.com.
We're
waiting for the trade. It has never been easier. InStockTrades offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And speaking of Alan Moore, right now, our book club selection collection is the Saga of the Swamp Thing hardcover volume 1.
Very good.
And, yeah, you know, awesome stuff. Hey, I mean, it's
Swamp Thing.
Comes with a beard hair in the back and a little pass.
It's been dipped in swamp when you get it.
And all of that for the super low price of $13.24. It's discounted 47% off the cover price.
Shit.
And it,
I'd get another one.
Let's, let's do it.
It collects Saga of the Swamp Things number 20 through 27. This first volume features the stories that put Alan Moore on the comics map in the 1980s, thanks to his unique narrative style and deconstructive storytelling. So there you go. And a little matching music for that Swamp Thing vibe. And Tim told me before the show that he is a fan. All the music for this episode is from Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Wow. Which Nick Cave?
I'm going to do some Nocturama, a little Dig Lazarus.
Oh, I love the Dig Lazarus Dig. You know, it's a really amazing
favorite album of last year, by the way.
It's kind of, it sounds like it's related, but it's not. He did a thing with Warren Ellis, but not the writer.
No, he does a lot of stuff. I think he's like his regular violin guy.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy named Warren Ellis who's not the Warren Ellis who writes comics. But
really?
They did this thing called the movie that Jesse James thing with Brad Pitt. Him and Nick Cave did a soundtrack to it, which would probably make a pretty mean thing to play on your show.
Well, we opened up
Grinder Man.
We opened up the episode with Red Right Hand.
Oh yeah, that's a good sound.
Which is actually classic. Off of the
Scream soundtrack.
I first heard it on the
written specifically for Scream, right?
The X-Files soundtrack.
That was that X-Files.
They've used it a lot. They used it in Hellboy. It's in Hellboy.
That's a great.
You know
great
that
track.
Song? He riffed those lyrics. Apparently,
sure.
He just made them up as he went along while he sang it.
No,
he
freestyled it.
Just ripped it. Well, I don't know the whole song, but he wrote that whole album, which was Let Love In. I'm a geek for a decade, by the way.
Wow.
He wrote that whole album on notes, yellow post-it notes around a desk, basically, apparently. And all the other songs were like super, you know, finished. And that song, he kind of riffed it, apparently. Just kind of saying that shit as it came
Nick
out.
Nick Cave is a badass.
He's a badass.
He is.
He's
awesome. Badass.
And now he's, I don't know if you've seen him in the last year or so. He's totally sporting the porn, yes. The porn stash. Yeah.
I'm actually, my hair, I'm doing the Nick Cave hair. I might shave this to do the Nick Cave mustache. I might.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the hair.
What are you going to do then?
I'm going to have to go along with that.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
We will cease to be Alan Moore impersonators and we'll look like a biker gang.
A gay biker gang.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Nick Cave can pull it off because no one in their right mind is going to be like, that guy looks wussy.
He looks like a crazy strung out heroin addict that's going to stab you.
Because they probably just saw him stomp a guy in the face.
Right.
He'll come through Chicago Evergreen once in a while. And if you ever have a chance to see him, live, it is an amazing show because Nick Cave is awesome, but the Bad Seeds here, this has turned into music cast, but the Bad Seeds are one of the great rock and roll bands in the world.
I bought tickets for their show in 2001 September 13th, which meant downer man. They didn't even get to come, you know. They couldn't fly, so I never got to see it again, but I really wanted. I have this picture of Nick Cave where he's doing a concert and just shouting in this woman's face. Like, he's playing the show. She's in the front row and he's just like, and I'm like, I want to be me! You know?
Nice.
Yeah. And then you'd just get even closer until...
it's like, hey, this guy's not getting what I'm doing.
You would turn it back on Nick Cave and he'd be like, you'd be shouting back at him, I love you, Nick Cave! And then he'd slowly, like, back towards the stage.
That's such a badass effect. When I'm trying to kiss you, ain't you? Yeah.
Gosh, you know, that reminds me, I was reading, to move on to comics here, and I'm trying to remember what the comic was. I was reading it this week, and it was written in 2000, and I can't remember the freaking comic it was, but...
Describe the
narrow
characters.
Narrow it down.
Yeah.
I've been reading so much
So you
much
can't
stuff.
Even, you don't remember any characters.
It was
characters.
Just a comic.
You just remember that you were reading...
No, but
it's on paper.
The one thing you remember is it's from 2000.
Yeah, and I don't know why it was... well, what it was is that there was a New York skyline scene, and it had the World Trade Center towers, and it just kind of struck me as... They're not. They don't do. Right. You know,
cities. Is Doctor Doom crying in it?
Well, no, but there's so many comics that are set in New York, and it's like if you see like a movie that took place in New York before 2001, that you it's like it always kind of strikes you that wow. Those
what always
were there
throw you off is if you see like Escape from New York or something like apocalyptic.
It was Welcome Back, Frank. That's what it was.
Sure.
Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon's Welcome Back, Frank. And there's a New York Sky scene. See, I knew I'd
That's not old?
Yeah, it was written in 2000.
Wow. We're getting old.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's true.
But yeah, it
just got sad, Israel.
Sorry,
face our mortality.
Sorry to bring it down, guys. But
turn into the crank cast talking about death. And
let's not start. Well,
I mean, do you guys? I mean, you guys obviously, like most artists, have to rely on some sort of photo reference. Is it mm-hmm. weird for you if you do like New York photo reference and a picture of New York pre 9/11 comes up and it's like, ooh, can't use that one.
Well, not being as familiar with the layout of New York, I probably wouldn't notice unless it was something like the towers. You know, it's like I wouldn't know if that was shot in 1979 or if it was shot last week.
I was reading The Stand this week, which Mike Perkins is drawn, and the only reason I like to buy The Stand in single issues because it is a $3.99 book, and I hate doing that, but I not enough not to do it. I don't hate it not enough to not do it.
You don't hate it at all.
Double negatives. The back matter in those really does make it worth it because Mike Perkins has a lot of artist stuff in his process, and then the guy who is writing it.
Oh my God,
Roberto Sequeira.
Yeah,
Sacasa.
Thank you.
Aguirre Sacasa. See, it wasn't like John Smith, but he always has like script pages and that kind of stuff. But Mike Perkins has the section in there where he was at the New York Comic Con. This is right before they were announcing The Stand, and he was. He was in Florida, so he doesn't get to New York that often, right. I guess. And so he has pictures of doing, you know, his own photo referencing for New York because a big part of the opening of the book takes place as a couple of the characters, Uncle Larry, and then the gal, I can't remember her name, they're trying to escape through New York and then go through the tunnel into New Jersey. And so it has his photo reference, and he said that it was important that he had to take some things out because there were some things in New York in 2006 or 7, whenever he took these pictures, that weren't there in 1985, I think, which is when this is being set.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like the T.I. statue.
I had a friend of...
What's a T.I. statue?
He's a rapper, I'm sure.
They already memorialized him in a statue?
Yeah.
He had a hit last year.
Yeah, it's like Rocky.
Yeah, it's pretty prominent. He's from Atlanta too, so that's why it's even weirder that they just toss their statues over.
Isn't he in jail?
Awesome. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Mike Hawthorne, who's drawn the G.I. Joe Origins book, he had a friend who shot a lot of New York stuff for me when I was doing Gravity because the whole point of it was to see it from the point of view of somebody that's never seen New York.
Small town kid.
Yeah,
comes to
so
Manhattan.
You're supposed to see things like the Lincoln Tunnel and things like the view of the city for the first time. And I was like, I can't find any of this online. You just see like lots of overshots and stuff like that. And this was already, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when, already in 4 or 5 years, you can find a lot more stuff now. And so this guy was nice enough to.
Oh, that's cool.
Go around New York and take pictures of it for me. I didn't even know. I was a complete stranger.
Were there any boudoir photos mixed in?
No. I didn't get any kind of weird, awkward stuff. I drew him in, though. So
Perkins even talks about it. There are a couple points in the book that it's very important. The intersection that they're at, where they have to turn from like Fifth Avenue and so-and-so, you know, to go into a different direction. That's kind of some important scenes happen there. And so, which is actually the corner where the Marvel offices are, which is the same corner in the book that they have to
like currently are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he had to, there it is. But he had to make sure that he took enough photos there because he didn't know the exact script, but he knew that stuff was going to be happening there, I guess. So
that's pretty nondescript area too.
Yeah.
Like that little, it's just nothing but big, tall buildings.
Yeah. Well, I think he took a lot of pride in getting the architecture exactly how it's supposed to
be.
Wow,
that's Mike for you.
Marvel actually created the Captain Trips virus. It was actually generated in the Marvel offices.
Yeah, and not many people know that.
Not a lot of people.
It was the last thing Kirby did for Marvel.
Hey, Stan!
I admit this disease.
I'm leaving giving you a gift.
I'm also a gifted chemical scientist.
Just don't open it until I leave.
I've been working on this for years.
While I was drawing Silver Surfer pages, I was also doing the biochemical work to create a deadly virus that would destroy New York City.
And Stan Lee took credit for it. Cool. It's my stupendous disease.
My stupendous disease.
My devastating disease of death. Excelsior.
Darren Do.
Larry made his nest up in the autumn branches. Built from nothing but high hopes and thin air. He collected up some baby blasted mothers. They took their chances, and for a while he lived quite happily up there.
So, guys, Tim, mm-hmm. Mike,
oh,
I hadn't talked to you guys. Tom,
yeah,
we want to find out what you're up to too.
Same,
Mr. Seal, you got some stuff going on with Hackslash these days that I know that you wanted to chit chat about.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I originally was like, oh shit, I got to do some radio shows because I got to talk about because I finally got it up to the 25th issue, so we just listed. But like, Allison, to me, that was like a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's not really that big of a deal. But
it's kind of a big deal for an independent comic. Well,
and if only because when I was a kid, I remember the 25th issue was when Darkhawk and Sleepwalker both got bad, and they were pretty much canceled right after that. It was like, that's when they blew their wad.
Oh, shit. Don't, you need to get that out of your head, though, because it's going to, you're psyching yourself out.
I know. But it was like, oh, shit, you know, 25th issue. So we did the cover thing where we did, like, the 25th, you remember we were kids, the 25th anniversary Marvel books? Which is weird because they're on their 70th anniversary now, so I guess like 45 years went by since those books came out.
Somehow really suspiciously weird. In 5 years it'll be the 100th anniversary. Like, yeah.
Which kind of confuses me. Yeah, so we did we're doing a kind of parody of the 25th anniversary things where they had that border around the signs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then
oh
the big face
it looks
image.
Awesome.
So we did it like that because I'm a huge nerd for...
Are you going to have issue 600?
Yeah. exactly.
If we kept the original Hackslash number,
had we done so, yeah, we'd be on issue 50, I guess. But yeah, so we did it like that, and I wanted to do something because for me to enjoy something, I also have to like. Well, I mean, for me to get really excited about something, I have to do something I kind of geek about too. So doing some kind of like homage to those, because when I was when I was first buying comics, like a lot of the books I would get would be in those, torn off. You'd get like one book with a torn off cover and two that weren't, and they'd become in these packs in Kmart.
Yeah.
And when those were coming out, they would fill them with the 25th issue ones, 25th mm-hmm. anniversary yeah. ones, because it'd be a big head on there.
Yeah.
And both sides. And then you'd open it up, you'd get like a torn off cover of Final Crisis or Infinite Crisis, and be like, what the hell is this? It's like a whole bunch of dudes, and I have no idea what this is. But, so, it was kind of an homage to that because, as a kid, I remember getting the one with the giant snake eyes cover, face.
I think I still have the Thor one with the bearded Thor.
The bearded Thor.
That was awesome.
Yeah, just, so I did kind of an homage to that with Hackslash. I did one Image of Cassie's Final Caselli, did the Vlad cover, and then we did that little border thing. So I'm excited to do 25th issue because, actually, I mean, even just sort of when I started it, the ongoing, it's like, you kind of figure you'll get 13 issues and you'll be done or something.
So, kind of
yeah. But well, it's great. I mean, I had a plan for longer, obviously, I hope, but...
You never know. The last time you were here, the Hackslash Omnibus Volume 1 was out of print.
Yeah, it's
and now there is a
and 2 is out, but I think Mark's out of it. But
yeah, he is sold out. So you are moving books.
Yeah, two fat ass books.
So the Hackslash Omnibus Volume 1 second printing. It says second printing on the front of it, which made me say, I don't want people to know that I waited until I got the second printing.
Wow,
I can call you. I can call you a leaker or faker.
I am a faker.
You fucking poser.
Fucking poser.
Double trade waiter. I wait for the second printing.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a hardcover. I'm waiting to see these book gets canceled. And then I'm going to get the big hardcover.
Nice.
This is now, we talked about in-stock trades, but you can pick up the Hackslash Omnibus Volume 1. And that is obviously a perfect place to get caught up on all of Cassie Hack stuff.
Yeah, and the Volume 2 trade actually is, or the Volume 2 Omnibus is all the ongoing series, up till like issue 18. So, it's like 18 issues of shit for 30 bucks.
18 issues of high quality comics.
But I mean, exactly. But it's cool I guess when I started doing that book, like, you sort of just envision like, hey, I'm kind of with this like mother thing. But when you get like a fat ass book, you're like, that you could kill a mouse with, You know, yeah. like that.
That's when you knew you made it. I heard Alan Moore say a similar thing once, that when he knew he made it when he had enough stuff to kill a mouse, enough published material.
You can now kill a rodent. Yeah. I have arrived.
You've arrived. Try to kill a mouse with your one shot, you know. Your one shot from Boom Comic. No. You try to kill something.
Gotta hit him with the corner.
It's like, what was that? And then he goes to eat your cheese.
Right. He's like, he's barely annoyed. But you drop an omnibus on his ass, he's not gonna, it's not, you know.
And he listens.
He listens, yeah.
And Mr. Mr. Norton. Hello. You are still working on Green Arrow Black Canary, of course.
Yes. And continuing.
You got a new inker.
It's
a young gun, right?
Yeah, we're trying him out. He's giving him they're trying to give him a start and see if he has any legs.
Let me teach
business.
You something.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and guide him. Bill Sienkiewicz is gonna be finishing the artwork from 22 on. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is DC's doing the co-feature initiative thing where they're splitting our book up into a Green Arrow and a Black Canary story. So I'll be fully penciling the Black Canary sections with still Joe Rubenstein inking them, mm-hmm. and then I will be loosely penciling the Green Arrow sections and
what layouts, but more like finished layouts.
Well, if you've seen my layouts, they're more like really rough pencils.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's super tight.
It's anal is the word.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And Bill is going to be doing finishes. It's actually the same process that I did with Jerry Ordway on Trinity.
Okay,
and I've seen some pages. It looks freaking fantastic.
That's cool.
So
that's cool.
I'm the most proud I've been of a lot. Like the Jerry stuff and this stuff is really great.
I love
you're more into like being the bass guy.
Wait, I really love it. You know why?
Bass in a band.
You know what? You know why I like it is it'd be different if I drew something and then Bill came in and just said, well, fuck this, and just completely drew everything else. But if you look at the layouts, it's exactly what I drew.
Oh, okay.
Except it's Bill Sienkiewicz.
It's not like Mike was taking acid.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'm gonna put a demon bear in this scene.
And it's totally the same thing with the Jerry Ordway stuff.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I drew. It's just... it's more of a collaboration. I'm a big fan of the old penciler inker collaboration thing. Mm-hmm. And I like that about actually working with Joe is that he's one of those guys and he does put a lot of himself into it. But the thing about those pages is it's still just all the heavy lifting is done by me. And if I make a mistake, Joe only knows so much about what I think looks bad, and he's like, I'll do it up to this, and then I'm like, no, I hated that, and he's like, well, I didn't know that.
You know? That's cool.
He does his job, and he does it very well, but it's still, if I mess up, I mess up. If I do something and say, hey, Bill, go with it, it always comes back.
They're not super embellished inks.
Yeah, so, okay, that's cool.
What was that Eric Larson thing where we were out for dinner that one day? He said, yeah, I know what my shit looks like. I like to see what it looks like with someone else.
That's exactly my attitude. We were talking about that, and he was also talking about doing an amazing Spider-Man issue in a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Like he was doing $2 a month and had time left over.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like he was saying, I was like, what? You do what? And he was like, well, yeah, sure. I do Spider-Man 1 week. I do the other thing the next week. And then
he's doing three,
time.
Remember? He said Spider-Man, Thor, and then his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine that as, you know, artist at Image and he's the publisher and you come in and say, I'm going to be a little late on this. You should do three issues a month.
Yeah, exactly. But I know he doesn't do that.
He doesn't. Well, he's doing it now.
No, I mean, he doesn't have that attitude when somebody, because nobody. I mean.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Shit, nobody does that anymore, man.
Yeah.
Well, you get fired if you did.
Yeah.
If you did that at, like, Marvel now, they'd be like, no. Please take 6 months to do one issue. That would be better. That's usually the current attitude, I guess. But.
Well, then you got another backup?
Oh, yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm doing the stuff on Green Arrow Black.
I'm sorry, co-feature.
I call them backups too, but they want to say co-features because, I mean, honestly, they are. The backups make it sound like this is a little thing that doesn't matter, you know, so they want to say co-feature.
Sure.
Co-feature in the Green Arrow Black Canary is exactly what it is because it's one continuous story. It's just two different characters. So you're getting like 30 pages of one big story.
Is $3.99?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah, all the co-featured books are going to be.
Yeah.
So, aha, that's how they're
getting longer. At least you're getting extra pages instead of a fucking cardstock cover.
Well, yeah, you don't want to. Yeah, for one thing, I hate cardstock covers.
Could kill a mouse with it easier.
A little easier.
If you catch them with the corner of it, just like
just chop them in half.
They're like, oh, that kind of hurt. And what's the deal with the Thor reprint?
Is this a Roy Thomas Thor story?
Then it eats your cheese. But yeah, I'm going to be doing the Blue Beetle backups, which, by the way, if we're talking about inkers, Norm Rapman is fantastic.
Yeah, I saw a giant robot drawing. Yeah,
he's doing
awesome,
fantastic with that. I really like
it. I actually like that stuff better than the Sienkiewicz stuff, but I thought you might smack me or something.
No, I love them all equally,
it's
and
more
they're
Mikey.
All for different
yeah.
reasons.
I like a little more Mike.
All my yeah. children inkers.
Well, equally. It's amazing.
That robot looks awesome.
It's seriously yeah. like getting to, you know, you get to play with all these different things, and, you know, it's a lot of variety, and I don't have to, you know, worry about stuff now.
Obviously, with the Sienkiewicz stuff that you're doing breakdowns and he's doing finishes,
yeah.
that's not going to be as tight. But do you work differently outside of that? Do you work differently for different inkers?
No,
you just kind of do
Well, that's a misnomer. Is that even a correct word to use?
Misconception,
yes.
Misnomer is if you referred to him as like
the name
Ink Man.
Yes. Which I do. I just call him
Ink Man.
Ink Man.
It's your turn, Ink Man.
It is. I sorry, buddy. With certain inkers, like when I knew that Joe was coming on board. I decided, well, you know what? I can probably draw this a little looser. But to say that is kind of...
misnomer?
It's not really a good thing to say because I was already heading that direction. Anyway, I've been kind of loosening up a little more. It's from looking at a lot of old John Byrne pages where you're looking at this stuff and you're like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. But it's really loose when you look at it. I mean, mm-hmm. it's almost like you get if you close up on a John Byrne page, it's like a Surratt painting. You know, it's just yeah. like a lot of little squiggles and stuff like that.
Really?
I'm just like, wow, how did he do that?
I've noticed that a lot looking at a lot of.
And he doesn't do layouts at all. And I'm just like, how do you do that? That's crazy. So I mean,
to
everybody
more his pencil stuff.
I mean, say what you will about the man. The guy is an expert at what he does, and he's a huge influence on how I do stuff.
So. Oh, I see a lot of Byrne in your work.
So, he's just amazing.
Well, a lot of those guys, like I was reading the Thor Visionaries, and you look at the Walt Simonson and stuff, and it looks really awesome. But when you really look at what's on the page, it's like, it's not. Like super, it's not super tight. It's
that
like,
makes it more amazing to me.
Yeah,
because you remember it as this,
yeah.
and it's the thing that spawned the even more detailed stuff. Because these artists came along, and you're just like, wow, what are we going to do to top this? And so you get an Arthur Adams who comes in and actually does draw all those details. yeah. Wherein, and you got to think if you're like Walt Simonson or John Byrne, you're sitting back and going, ha. I'm better because I tricked you into thinking
I did it with less.
You think
yeah.
I did?
Yeah,
you
golden,
think I did
my golden. Or
yeah,
like
and you're, and you know, so Art Adams is late on everything because he is actually drawing every blade of grass.
Is he late on stuff, or is it just they finally?
He's very late on stuff. I think he's come out and he's already admitted it, that he's just he's got
not
a hard time.
A lot of guys are not.
Yeah, it just kind of came to the point where it's like he's going to do a couple things a year.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anybody's
going to blow your ass off.
Yeah, they're going to buy it because it's Art Adams, and he's one of those, you know, rare artists that everybody wants to be, where it seriously, your name sells the project.
Yeah.
I was always going to try to do, I'm the fast Art Adams, but it hasn't worked yet.
I'm the fast part.
You kind of are.
Well, no, not really. But I mean, I was always like,
you got the fast
I'll be
part.
That. Yeah, I'll be the fast part, Dan, and then that's it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of nice that I think the industry is kind of... I don't want to say if it's eased up on the whole monthly thing, but we've talked to several artists over the last few years that we had Tony Moore on a couple weeks ago, and Tony is an amazing artist.
Yeah,
Tony's just
also not a monthly.
He's not
he
a
can.
He can.
He can shut the fuck up. I know he can do it.
When he does it, he's really pushing himself.
Yeah,
yeah, but he can do it. And it looks just as good as it did if he didn't do it. In
but I think
it's all psychological.
I think he would be the first person to admit that he would prefer to do like 9 issues a year.
Yeah.
And Chris Burnham.
But you know what? That's kind of the average for most pencilers now.
And that's
shit. 9 issues a year.
I know. I know. I said that I made that by July last year.
Norton did 18 last year. I probably did 16, maybe 14, somewhere in there.
So I think there's a little bit of the SmackDown.
You guys are in the shit.
But I'm telling you, that is the average.
I know. I even read a thing with Ethan Van Sciver talking about how he's like, yeah, you know what? Monthly guys get shit on. Why would you be a monthly guy? You're the guy that gets called in to crack some crap out. He's like, you'd be slow and everybody loves you. And he's right. It's bullshit.
And you're like, damn.
Well, yeah, I'm working my ass off to get this shit out. Like, let's just fuck around and make it really nice.
Mike, that was you for a long time. It took a long time for you to get onto a real monthly gig in Green Arrow Black Canary.
Well, I mean,
you did All New Adam for what?
But Mike never has done anything where he's like, hey, I have a book this month. Mike has, I have a book and a half this month, or a book and
I have two books.
What are we talking about? We're talking about how that really doesn't matter, though, right? Because there are no monthly artists, right?
No.
So,
not
I mean,
very many.
Me getting a monthly book was more of me saying, hey, I've got a job.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or it's like, you know, with the Fear Agent kind of pattern that they went into, or mm-hmm. just the setup where Tony would do 6 issues.
Sorry, I shouldn't play with the bell. Tony, every time Tony's name gets said, it's like.
Jerome O'Pena would do 6 issues. And then whenever they weren't doing that, they could go off and do,
but that's,
you know,
yeah,
Triple
that's
X
kind
Zombies
of the standard
whatever.
When you think about it. When you think about any of your typical Marvel books, you have your main penciler who they make a big deal out of, mm-hmm. but they also got a backup guy who kind of draws exactly like that guy.
Steve Epting and Mike Perkins.
Exactly.
Works perfectly, though.
But the thing about those
that
guys,
works.
That's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I talked to Mike Perkins mm-hmm. last year at Wizard World Chicago, and he was really excited about the Stand because he was like, this is a book that is going to be, you know, my own. I did a lot of issues of Captain America, but that was Steve's book.
Uh-huh. And he's very excited about
this. This is
book.
Something that I'm going to be able to mm-hmm. to look back and say, this is my series that I was able to work on.
And that is the appeal of doing something like that. Like, I look at, I mean, the Tim, as much as, you know, you might get tired of drawing dragons and swords for a while, you had a good long run on your Forgotten Realms and the G.I. Joe thing. How long were you on G.I. Joe? Was it G.I. Joe?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how many did you do?
I did like 22, Mike Norton.
Natural.
Very natural. But no, it was like, you know, but that was, I don't know, to me, it's like, if you're going to do something, I'd rather get it, you know, pour it all
out.
But
that's the point. That's the point I'm trying to say, is because that's why I like the monthly format, is because I grew up with, you know, reading a book, and this is the artist on that book, and he's on there forever, and you love that book because of that.
Because of the team.
Now, yes. Now, I don't think that is why people like comics now, but as you have brought up on your other show, which I agree with, by the way, there are no kids reading comics.
It is a much, much smaller.
There are kids reading comics.
It's enough of a population
to
say that there are
none. Comic last week.
Well,
there is a sliver. Now, most of the people reading are our age, and so they're, and I've talked about this on my show, which is crap.
We love the Crank Cat.
Crank just
died. We've talked about this.
Crank just died a little inside, and he doesn't know why.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care, no.
There's a disturbance in the force.
He died because he's sitting in the garage with his car going. I made myself laugh. But what was I saying?
Shit, I don't know.
That kids aren't reading comics.
Kids aren't reading comics, and the only people reading are people that are our age, and they're tired of that stuff now.
They're tired of having a consistent artist?
Well, they don't care.
They don't care. They just care about it looking really detailed. And
they're tired
fancy.
Of the old stuff that they grew up with, because they've been there, they've done that. They
want
it
to change.
And they're older now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's the funny thing about it, isn't it? Everybody wants change, but they don't want change.
I think it's because fans as they tend to get older also tend to become super hyper critical of all elements.
Because you're becoming older, you're a nerd to begin with, and you think you're an expert on everything.
You have boxes of old comics in your house.
Yeah,
you're a little obsessed.
Yes, slightly obsessed. So you think you're an expert. So by God, you better do it your way or the highway, right?
Well, I read something that was kind of interesting, and this actually will probably tie into everything we're talking about. Is that someone said, you know, people don't think this is why people read like monthly superhero books and only monthly superhero books from the big two, and they love crossovers because they view their comics as dispatches from an alternate reality history that they're studying and enjoying, and it's very important.
I could definitely see that.
So, like,
that was exactly what I loved about comics when I was a kid, because I loved history when I was a kid.
So you're like, but you don't consider it like, you don't consider it as like, this is my monthly entertainment, and it can change and it can do whatever and grow. It's like, it's important that it all ties together because it's this actual solid history that is really important to you to know. You're like, I have to be in the know. What happened? Because it's very important to the history.
How was General Lee at four different places? I don't understand.
Here's an interesting difference, though. Let's say this is you growing up with this stuff. You're coming at it from it seems like there's no difference between you and this person that you're talking about, which is the general reading population.
Sure.
But underneath that, it's you're really getting a creative thing out of this, where you're looking at this is world building to you.
Yeah.
So you're going to get older and you're going to realize the difference between making this stuff up and using it as a Bible.
Yeah.
And so that's why things like continuity aren't as important to guys like you and me, because we make and break it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But guys,
Mike fucking makes continuity every week and then destroys it.
But there's dudes like that jackhole K-Dog on the message boards who says that, hey.
What's a K-Dog?
Is some dude on the DC message boards. Oh. He says you can't do anything to Black Canary because this is the way she was.
Yeah.
Oh, like she's real.
Exactly.
Even worse, it's like they don't recognize, a lot of people don't recognize, it's an IP. That's
right. That's a very important point, because I'm not insulting you when I say you're not writing this. They are, and they could write it the way I don't want it. They're gonna do what they're gonna do.
Sure.
So suck it up.
So this is funny.
Mike Norton lays out a line.
It's really true. Yeah. I used this example, and I got torn up about it, because I used the example of George Lucas. I hate the three Star Wars movies that just came out, but he made them up. Yeah, I can't say,
same guy.
This isn't how it goes, George.
That's not canon.
It's not. Right.
Exactly.
It's his choice.
And he goes, yeah, it is. I wrote it, dumbass.
I made it up. I made them all. Somebody,
and just because I turned into a lunatic later doesn't mean it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. There's no difference between that and somebody that they hire at DC to write this book, because they wrote the book.
Yeah.
It's funny because this past week I saw a thing where people were signing up wanting to get a petition to get Simon Pegg not to be Scotty anymore, as if there was an actual Scotty that he was not
because
doing
Scotty would not approve. Well,
he was like
this
one of the best parts about that movie.
But the thing,
and that was a great movie. By
the thing was, I was kind of like, it's kind of weird when you take like all that character is a giant collection of different people who were hired to write stories featuring Scotty, and somehow, and this is the beauty of the human mind, people have developed like this idea of who Scotty is, as if Scotty is a real person that you're not staying true to the spirit of Scotty. And I was like, what the fuck? Scotty was like a bit character.
Yeah. Portrayed by a guy who's dead.
Canadian, not even Scottish.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotty is words on paper.
It's very important to what we do as a job that these things are real to people, but you have to let people go, this is so real to you, now pull it back, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, and the same thing, like, if you do a creator-owned book and you're the only input onto it and stuff like that, like Savage Dragon or something.
That's not what Savage Dragon would do. You know,
sure.
Like if someone
told that. Yeah, exactly, you know?
Hey, but there are people that would, though.
I'm sure. But I mean, it's just like, you know, I think there's certain things that are intended. Like, it just sometimes drives me crazy when people get really fired up about like company owned IPs.
Yes.
Where they're designed to make money for stockholders. That's okay. Everybody accepts it. Everybody knows it. That's part of the deal. You can enjoy it. But in the end, it makes money for stockholders. That's what it does.
Yes.
That's what Batman does. That's what All those things do. They make money for stockholders. So, like, I mean, for people to get hyped up about something like that, it's like, well, then why aren't you reading more creator-owned books? If you really get so upset about it, you want to talk to someone directly who is, you know.
You know what? They want would not do that.
Because yeah. They want something so badly, and why won't you just give it to them?
Sure. Well, sure. No, but here's the funny thing is I think part of, like, the trade-off for, like, creator-owned versus, like, the big two is that, and it was funny because I've just gotten into reading Cerebus after multiple tries of trying to read it. And
yeah. There's it's a tough read.
And it's there's, yeah. like, heights and low points to a creator-owned thing,
mm-hmm.
because if it's just you, like, yeah. there's going to be ebb and flow to it. And well, if you're yeah, it,
sure.
if you're it, like,
you're
there's
not
no one
yourself to turn
no one, like a, if someone writes a really bad Batman story, like a bad Batman story, they'll just get somebody else to write a mediocre Batman story to replace your bad Batman story. At the same time, you'll never get the heights. You know, like, if someone makes a really great creator-owned book, it's tough to get a Batman or Superman story. Not to say that it isn't possible for someone to write a really great version of that book of those characters.
But it happens less often.
Well,
it,
because yeah. they have to generate stuff constantly. But I think sometimes people don't like the ups and downs of, you know, like, even me, I've complained about The Walking Dead. I keep buying it, but that's sometimes I think it's really slow, but that's part of reading that as opposed
sure.
to
mm-hmm. yeah.
because it's just it's Kirkman writing it, and mm-hmm. if he writes a slow issue and that's what he wants, that's it. That's just all mm-hmm. there is. There's not going to be another guy. It's not like Kirkman's going to go, oh, I wrote this slow. I'm going to hire someone to write like a slightly faster version of this story, and that's okay. and that's it. And I think sometimes there's comfort in the idea that you're of media of like I really like Batman. Or I really like Spider-Man, and I'm kind of okay with getting. And I've done. There's characters I like the Justice Society. I'd be okay with reading a mediocre Justice Society book because I like the characters. There's not sure. a risk to it because you know there's right. always a bottom level.
Yeah.
Of
at the type. Least, it's still the characters you like.
Yeah. At the yeah. least,
even when it that sucks the too. Biggest ass, it's still J. Garrick Flash, and you're still excited.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I do. I mean, that's I totally like
the,
get
but
it.
But it's not. It's not always even the creative teams. It's. I mean, you guys know this working with editors, and this week we just found out that Dwayne McDuffie got reassigned or let go from JLA, and that's because a lot of what editorial was dictating, what he wanted to do with the team just wasn't meshing.
Sure.
And it just, I mean, that was a creative and editorial marriage that just didn't work. And mm-hmm. you know, I think whenever McDuffie took over that series coming off of a really fun Fantastic Four, that I think that people were really looking forward to that. And it's like, God, what's going on? This was supposed to be a lot better. And
well, people make it. If machines could, if yeah. yeah. You know, like,
but I want to read Dwayne McDuffie's Image superhero book, man. I want Dwayne yeah. McDuffie to get in, make his own book, and I want to see what he would do. Yeah. I think it would be fucking awesome.
Well, I think Dwayne McDuffie, he wanted to come in and make his Justice League, and just because of other shit because they're all IPs and they're doing other stuff, sure. and it's a big universe, he wasn't able to work with the characters that maybe yeah. he wanted to work with or in ways that he wanted
but
to
he,
do.
And, it, he, so. And he seems pretty like, and from what I've read, it seems like he's very much like, well, this is part of the deal.
This happens,
you don't
yeah.
mesh, you get fired.
I can, yeah.
You
know.
Whenever
can
you sign on to do JLA,
hand.
Yeah.
The amount of people that get carte blanche to do whatever they want, and even they don't get to do everything
sure.
they want.
Yeah,
and,
they
I mean,
get
and,
to do 9
you know,
out of 10
you?
Things
yeah,
that they
I
want.
Mean, you know, I mean, I always think about that as because no one hires me to write shit, you know, so I don't have to worry about it. But with Hack Slash, like, I could do whatever I want. If I ever got hired to write something, I'd be like, oh, fuck. I can't do whatever I want. I probably, after like 3 years of doing whatever the hell I want, I don't know if I could, I'd probably fuck it up pretty good. Like, I'd probably have to quit.
I don't know what the fuck to do at this point. I don't know what to do.
All the ideas I got are fucked up. That's it. That's all I got. You know, like, so yeah, it'd be, I don't know. I don't know how some of these guys, I think I respect it. But I mean, I think it's a difficult thing to, you know, either you have to go, this is just, you know, these creators have to go, this is just a job. I'm going to make some shit up. I will change it because they want me to. And that's okay. Or you go like, I really want to do this, and you get canned. I mean, you know, if you're going to be a freak about it, you should make a creator.
Or you got to have strategy. Yeah. It's like any job. Or like, sure. If you want something at your job, if you're smart, you learn how to get what you want without having
how
to throw
a manage
fit.
Your boss.
Yeah, you learn how to manage,
how to
your,
manage
boss.
Your boss.
Yeah, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other job where you know, like at my workplace, I know how to get things without having to
throw. And if you're listening, Tom's boss, here's what Tom does.
Here's exactly my technique. For my now first thing I bring up is insane, and then the second one is actually what I want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we, you know, when
I stopped doing that.
Yeah. Well, remember when we were
because they almost always go for the insane.
And you never do that in design.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly
what you never do in design.
It's like, okay, they want to see five things. I'm going to do four really good ones and one really shitty one.
And
so
they pick the shitty one.
Yeah, they always fucking pick the shitty one.
They taught me to do that, and then I did it, and I was like, this is the worst advice I've ever received.
Always pick
but
the
you remember
one.
When we did it at Del, you know, Mike and I both worked at Del's Do, it was like, you know, you'd pitch in shit for G.I. Joe or something, or working on stuff for G.I. Joe, and we'd always put in a couple that were like, no way in hell will they go for that. Yeah. And inevitably, it would sort of push them towards the idea you really wanted to do, which is... I mean, that's kind of a... It didn't always work, obviously. We failed miserably a couple times.
But part of that... Was that part of when you had to pitch a G.I. Joe story that the... Whoever owns G.I. Joe would be the ones that would...
That was a big part of it.
Because then it's like people who maybe don't know anything about... Well, they know about selling toys.
Yeah, they know about selling toys.
And then you're kind of like, you don't really want to actually do this.
Yeah, it's well, yeah. I mean, but it's, I think it would be the same for working for Marvel, DC. Course, yeah. I mean, the same thing.
It's, you know, yeah, it's stuff, a lot.
This portion of Around Comics is brought to you by Netflix. Right now, you can start a free 2-week trial by going to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics. At Netflix, you'll find over 100,000 titles to choose from, including classics and new releases, as well as TV series. Plans start from as low as $4.99 per month, and you can keep each movie as long as you want with no late fees ever. Netflix has free shipping both ways, and you can expect your next selection to be delivered in about one business day. Now watch some movies and TV series over the internet for no extra charge. I use this service with my Xbox 360 and personal laptop and love it. So head over to www.netflix.com/aroundcomics and get started with your free trial today. Shall we do some emails?
Sure.
All right. If you would like to email the show, you can certainly do so by sending one to info@aroundcomics.com.
I just want to say there is a correct way to write most of the characters I love.
Write them how you want.
You're not doing it.
Yeah, and I'm going to list the people that I have problems with.
Nice. You can email the show at info@aroundcomics.com. Please put listener feedback in the subject line. You can also go to the aroundcomics.com, and I think there's some feedback options there if you would like to do that.
Just
through the
plays
website.
A sad trombone sound when you hit
This one is from Seth Biedman, and I believe that's it's Biedman or Biedman. I picked his out. We had gotten a few other posts and some other emails, but this kind of gets right to the point that everyone else was saying. Hey guys, love the podcast. Well, thank you, Seth.
Thank you.
You were talking about Grant Morrison and the Squire on a previous podcast, and I'm nearly certain that character debuted in the JLA Classified number 1-3 story arc that Morrison did to kick off the series. The art was by Ed McGinnis. If I'm not mistaken, keep up the good work. And yes, several people contacted us and said that Morrison debuted that character.
Put in there, debut the Knight, her boss. The Night Guy?
I would assume so if Squire was... I have not read the JLA Classified.
I did a while ago. I totally forgot about that Squire was in it. So I like that story, though. But,
yeah. So if you like Squire, you can go and check out the JLA Classified. We'll have to ask Mr. Beatty here if that is around. I was always a fan of the JSA Classified. I always thought those were pretty sweet.
Yeah, well,
Nice. All right. Our next one is from Edward, and he says, "Have you seen this?" And he
this is an audio show.
And he sent a link to crackle.com and the Angel of Death. And he says it is called Angel of Death.
Wait, Edward, did Ed Brubaker send this to us?
Oh, it could be.
Have you seen this?
It is a web series.
I hear it's very good.
It is a web series created by Ed Brubaker and put on by Sony Digital. It is not half bad. Just thought that you might be interested. Really enjoyed the show. Both of them. I guess he's talking about either Tom versus the Flash that's or 11
the one,
o'clock.
That's the one he's talking about.
Says, clearly, keep up the
you
good
don't
work,
enjoy
man.
11 o'clock. You endure 11
o'clock. You endure 11 o'clock. Yes, for
I
those
mean, I like it.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate
Mike's
it.
Mike's a fucking masochist.
I am.
I'm talking about him forcing himself to like work monthly comics, drawing 2 issues a month. Like, this is not a man of leisure.
This is why. I wish I was Tom. He always knows what to say.
Oh, that's a you know. I'd give
he will gut you with his words.
He will. You guys are gonna at fight or fight Friday here. Coming up pretty soon,
and then there'll be no.
It's all virtual fighting.
So. Yeah, it's all virtual. It's mostly magic. Yeah. Magic cards.
Lots of magic missiles.
But have you on 11 o'clock? I spent about 2-3 episodes of stopping trying to be the voice of reason and just started drinking a lot more. And
so it all comes out in one furious drunken rage.
Yeah. All your anger.
But no, we've been having fun. I enjoy 11 o'clock. Edward, yes, you are right. Ed Brubaker has written a series at Crackle.com called Angel of Death, and it is good.
With Zoe Bell, right?
With yeah. Zoe Bell,
the amazing stunt tricks. I just add tricks to
stunt
things.
Stunt tricks.
That, wow, yeah. Did you just coin that?
I did. I just did it.
Just stunt tricks.
Yeah, I don't think it works too well.
Shut up.
Stunt tricks sounds kind of gross.
Pencil latrix, if you're a female penciler. Huh? Yeah.
Pencil latrix.
Ink tricks.
Color tricks. Color. Hue tricks. Hue tricks is better.
Hue tricks?
For a colorist? Yeah. Very nice.
Ink lady.
Lady of the night? No, that's different.
Angel of Death is good, and I hope that it's not too good, because I want to see Ed continue to write comics, and I hope that he doesn't get whisked away.
What is Sony getting out of having a web show? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Well, it's,
I mean, just because, I mean, do they charge for it? It's free. Right?
I don't, well, yeah, you go to Crackle.com. It's basically web-delivered video entertainment. They do a really cool, they actually did 2 30 Days of Night.
Oh, the ones that are Fear Night, yeah.
Yeah. Those are at Crackle as well. So, yeah, they do, Bud Bundy. Who I can't remember his real life.
David name. Faustino. Fiorentino is a kind of spinach, I think.
I am a little creeped out that you both, that no, you sort of knew it than Mike correctly.
He has a thing where I've seen his films where he's talking about, he does those little short things where he's like, always pissed that Seth Green gets all the parts that he's supposed to be.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. That's it. That's on Crackle.
I know, okay.
The guy who played Parker Lewis from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, the greatest TV show of the 90s.
That's funny. He was also in the TV movie adaptation of The Stand.
Yes, he was.
Nice.
Yes, bring it back. See, it all comes around.
I was just on his Wikipedia page this past month.
All right.
Don't just move by.
We also have some voicemails. And
oh, no.
I was a little disappointed that we hadn't been getting a lot of voicemails. Yeah. And then I realized today that I've been given the wrong number.
Oh, no way.
So if you would like to call the show.
So the voicemail is from somebody complaining that they're getting a lot of crazy calls.
No, who the fuck are you guys? That would be really fun. That would be really funny.
Who are you
but
guys?
No, our hotline is 1-888-977-5903.
What were you reading?
997 instead of 977.
God, so what city is that?
I have no
idea.
There's
all these people calling and it's just like. This number is
around comics is stupid.
Or they're just leaving a message for some guy that when he picks up, somebody's like, why are these people talking about comic books?
I don't understand.
Well, it's funny because I guess Fester is the only person that's been going to the website where the correct number was. So it is 1-888-977-5903.
How long have you been giving the wrong number?
All months.
Wow.
Months. So, all right, here is
technology is awesome.
So here's a voicemail.
Hi. I'm not Fester. Bye.
So there you go. Like I said, Fester was
that's
our,
it?
That was it.
It's not even a question.
He probably wasn't even calling in for the show.
He said, we had mentioned a couple weeks ago that Fester was the only person that calls the show.
Because so we you thought gave he was the wrong number for
because
months.
I gave the wrong number. So there's someone who...
And that's the kind of message he leaves?
Well, no, but that wasn't Fester, though, obviously.
It's Fester's friend, I bet.
Fester's friend. All right, but this
good
this
band
is
name.
This one.
Fester's friend. Yeah. This one, Fester's friend.
Here's one that's a little, and you guys in the peanut gallery don't get to hear this, but it's going to be funny. So.
Is it? Is it going to be a British guy?
Hi, Around Comics.
It is a British guy.
This is Tom Caters from Alternate Earth 41.
He knows my name.
Where I am British.
It's your alternate. British alternate.
And all, everyone in the entire village either sounds like Benny Hill or tiny Victorian children, and they're all dressed in kind of Charles Dickens garb. And we all ride around all day in double-decker red buses and eat fish and chips all the time.
I think that's the problem.
And whenever we go into shops, we're greeted by people who speak in kind of Harry Potter,
is this James Robinson?
Mary Poppins style accents all day. That is my dream. I'm living it. This is Tom Caters from Alternate Earth 41.
That is James.
It's James.
Signing off. Mary Poppins and Harry Potter.
Wow, this guy's great.
There you go.
What was that?
Seriously,
fan,
when
what did he
when I'm not pretending to be Tom Caters,
who is it?
I'm Matt.
No, it's that guy.
How you doing, Bird? Pal?
He's like the
and
one British guy who likes comics.
Chris and whoever else is in the shop watching you. Yeah. How you doing? Never called the show before, and probably never will again, because Tom will probably say, "Oh God," and he'll moan and say, "I can't understand British people," and he'll tell me that I sound like Benny Hill. and that's uncomfortable for him. And I'm sorry about that.
That
I could be better. Okay, it could be better. I could call in and talk about the Kirby Crackle. This is probably really pissing off Vince as well, because I'm calling you now as
Vince
well. So I'm gonna
show.
Now call 11 o'clock comics. Okay. Sorry, Vince. Anyway, bye.
So no, Vince is upset because Matt is
got his own show now.
Well, he is doing.
Oh my god, it's like a bunch of 13-year-old girls.
Well, that's where Sal is.
Oh, he's so angry. He's gonna be angry because I'm calling somebody else.
Well,
someone just called and said I was a fat bitch and hung up.
Well,
now
Matt,
I know what I'm gonna do.
Matt is one of the. I guess I can give away this information. He is one of the four members of the League of Nobodies.
Well, they got two episodes out. Of course, you can say that.
Okay, all right. All right.
It's not a secret.
It's Matt and Braxton and Sal and Scotty.
Wait,
you tried to listen to it? Couldn't get through it?
It was all right.
Wait, he's on a show with Scotty. And he's British.
Yeah.
Dad, that's gotta be weird.
Yeah,
I haven't listened to it yet.
Scotty's
it's
got to
be a good 20 minutes of Scotty making fun of his accent.
Hello.
I think they got over that.
I need to listen to it because it's a book club thing, right?
It is a book club. It's called The League of Nobodies. Their first episode was...
Because I've got that Tom Strong and I haven't read it yet. So.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Wait,
brilliant.
So they pick a book and they read
they
it
pick
all
a book and they read it.
Yeah, I'd love to do
they
that.
Read it together.
Oh,
while
together.
They're recording, like doing the voices,
they read it out loud. Yeah,
good thing they have
it's
a
like
guy.
A theater thing. Yeah,
we need
British guy. He plays all the Nazis.
Hello.
We're like this month we're doing Constantine. Sweet.
Hello, Hitler.
But no, it's very good. So check out the League of Nobodies, and Matt, who just called in, is one of the four, and he's also
I would listen to him.
Well, you know, he does a bunch of the phone call ins for 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
You remember the Jaws one,
no,
which was absolutely brilliant.
I usually fast forward through those.
Oh, the Jaws! the Jaws one was brilliant. It
no,
was,
I
was
no,
fantastic.
I heard it. I just. Yeah.
But he hated it.
I listened to it, but I hated it.
Oh,
that's very funny.
All right, so that
for British guy. So
that is emails and voicemails. Now, let's do the audio trinity and do a phone call in. All right, we've got Mr. Chris Somni on the line. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
All right, it's good to hear from you, good sir. You have been a busy boy as your blog every day will attest to. If you go to is it chrissomni.com? Is that your blog?
You got it. chrissomni.com. Okay.
You're one of the few blogs that I go to every day, and
it's not a good thing.
It's not a
for
good
you,
thing
for you, Chris. That means he knows way too much about you.
It's a little bit of stalker. coming in. But you are busy with a monthly book. You've got OGN stuff that you've been working on. Yet you are able to post a totally awesome kick-ass sketch every day on your blog. How do you find time to do that, man?
Yeah, tell me.
Do you want to know the secret?
Yes. Why would I ask?
I actually only spend maybe one day a month, and then I just do blog sketches, and then I schedule it.
You cheating bastard! Genius!
So, yeah, and I know a lot of guys will try and draw one sketch in the morning ready for the day ahead, but I get up in the morning and I go straight to work, but I do take one day out of the month, and I'll just do like 20 sketches, and then I'll just schedule all of them for the next month.
Wow,
if I don't leave comments back when somebody leaves a comment, it's just because I haven't even been to my own blog in a while.
I just thought it was because you're like too cool to like. Listen, it's done. I've already done it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I kind of like that idea. Like, you could do a news show that's a daily news show, except you just
record all the news in advance.
Yeah, all the news in advance. Like, yeah, and some shit blew up today. And then some shit got invented.
There was a fire somewhere on the north side.
Perhaps. Well, you have a new comic book. It's actually not a new comic book, but it's a new comic book for you coming out in a couple days here, as this comes out on Monday.
We call them pre-owned.
Pre-owned book. You have a pre-owned book coming out called The Mighty, and is that this Wednesday? Does your first issue hit?
Yeah, my first issue is number 5. Comes out June 3rd.
Okay.
Wednesday? That would be next Wednesday.
Yep. And that is written by Pete Tomasi and Keith Champagne, and art by you, right?
Yep, it's me. Look out.
Awesome.
Watch out, motherfuckers. Do you draw all of Mighty in one day and then just time out the like when you send it out so it looks like you're working on it every day?
Yeah, just parts it out.
So Chris works 3 days a month. Shit. I need to be some Chris Somni, man. That's good shit.
Well, one of the things about The Mighty is that it is it's a color comic, and I've always personally enjoyed the black and white work that you've done. I think you have just a fantastic feel for negative space and use of light and dark, and just how you spot shadows is amazing. What's it like for you working in color? And I know that you have done quite a bit of color work in the past, but it seems like you really have to switch gears in your art style to do that.
Yeah, let me elaborate on that. Are you changing the way you're doing it at all? Because most of the stuff you're doing, when I've seen your stuff, it usually, you have a way of doing like blacks and whites, like somebody's...
Like that fire breather pinup.
Like there's a flash bulb going off, you know?
That fire breather pinup you did just pissed me off. It was so good.
Oh, you're good also too, Tim.
No, it sucked ass.
the con sketches and a lot of the stuff that I put on my blog, I'll pick a light source first. And then just spot black and work backwards.
Okay.
To the thinnest line. Like, I'll start black and then, you know, get thinner and thinner lines and just to define the form.
Yeah.
But crazy. In a lot of my print work, I start with the outlines and then work my way to black. Like, I know where the light sources is, where the light sources are to begin with, but it makes it easier on the colorist if there's a bit more of an outline instead of, you know, everything looking like there's a spotlight off panel.
So you are working for the colorist, basically.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to kill anybody with you know, not drawing the side of a face. You know, like somebody who picks up a con sketch or something, they can assume where the side of a face would be. Yeah. But when it gets down to like defining planes in color, that's just way too much work to leave to somebody who's, nice, you know, essentially doing like 5 pages a day.
Wait, what'd you say? 5 pages a day? You're drawing that, or is that the colorist?
No, I mean the colorist.
Oh, okay. I was going to hate you again.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good then.
Well, and I mean, who knows, you know, what their flatter has started, you know. Yeah. They might just have a big triangle on the side of the face.
They have a picture of you on a dartboard somewhere.
Now, what was the Marvel Max series that you just wrapped up?
Devil Slayer.
That was Dead of Night featuring Devil Slayer.
Devil Slayer. Was,
the trade just came out this week.
Did it come out this week?
Yeah, the trade just came out Thursday.
Okay.
Well done, Mike Norton.
See, Mike is a fan.
Somni, he's super fan. I'm a huge Somni fan. That's why I want to murder him.
Well, I have a comic in my collection that I've been holding on to for whenever you come up in September, but I may have to sell it to Mike because we found that Big Bang Comics issue, Chris.
Oh, what did he do?
Which one was it?
Was it Night Watchman?
The one that has the Ninja Turtles on the cover?
No.
I had no idea you did this.
No, I'm trying to think what the cover is.
Could have been Lethal Strike, Norton.
It may.
Oh, shut up! Don't tell nobody.
Oh, what?
Whatever. Like, I haven't done shit. Go look up some Pandora booby books. I got some wind. Don't worry about it.
Ooh, I think we just found some dirt on Norton.
No, let's interview the guy.
No, I think I've got one of your first Big Bang comics at home. I was gonna surprise it with or surprise you with it in September. Which, by the way, thank you very much. We're looking forward to seeing you then.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a great time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, Chris, and your wife Laura, you guys are gonna do the IKEA trip, right?
Yeah.
I think
every time we take a trip anywhere, it's like, is there an IKEA there? And then I know if she's gonna come. Wait, we just went to Minneapolis on vacation for a week,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out the IKEA was the big draw, not like the Mall of America or anything. It was the IKEA that she was worried about.
We need to get to the IKEA. We need to get to the IKEA.
It was funny. Whenever I first invited Chris to come up for Windy City Comic Con, he's like, well, we'll probably be able to do it because you guys have an IKEA there.
That's hilarious.
That's fascinating.
So yeah, we're looking forward
to
having
you. I plan my trips on strip clubs. Like, if they have a movie bar I want to go to?
And every place does. So
yeah, I can go anywhere.
That's why you go, yeah.
Now you had the mighty, it's issue 5 this week, right?
Right.
So most people should be
5 through 12.
Most people should be able to go back and pick up the first 4 issues, which have been fantastic.
It's a really good book, actually. I buy it, and I don't buy that much stuff. So
and it's Peter Schneiberg who has been on
art. Peter Schneiberg.
I thought it was Schneiberg.
I've never talked to him on the phone. I've only talked to Pete Tomasi on the phone.
You guys know more than me.
So it's Schneiberg?
Yeah.
If there was a chair at IKEA called the Schneiberg, it would smell the same.
It seems like a chair at IKEA, doesn't it?
I just bought a Schneiberg.
You know, and that's. I want to talk about that for a second. A lot of people probably know his work from picking up after Tony Harris on Starman. He finished out the series, and that's probably what he's most well known for. Except he did a fantastic 3 issues on Night Witches with Garth Ennis. He did Night Witches.
No, he didn't do Night Witches. Russ Brunn did Night Witches. He did
Dear Billy.
Yeah, Dear Billy.
Okay, he did Dear Billy, but his art style and yours, whenever we're talking about your color work, I think it will be a very easy transition for people who have been reading The Mighty. Was that part of the reasoning behind them getting you to work on the series? Is that your color work is going to be a nice, easy transition for people that have gotten used to his art style?
You know, I didn't really think about it. When Pete Tomasi contacted me to ask if I wanted to do the book, he told me that he was working on it with Schneiberg at the time, and I was just a huge fan of both of them and what they did on Light Brigade, and that kind of sold me on you know, wanting to work on the book. I didn't really think about trying to follow him so much. I mean, we will have the same colorist, so I'm sure that there will be some similarities. Like, I did that issue with Daredevil a while back that Andy wrote.
Sure.
And I mean, having Hollingsworth color me made a lot of people say, well, you know, he looks a lot like Michael Luck. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be comparisons, but, you know, I'm not trying to draw like him or anything. if there's anybody I could, I mean, you know, he's a good place to start. I'm a huge fan of it.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Now, one of the other projects that you've got coming up, speaking of Pete Tomasi, who does some Green Lantern stuff, you're going to be doing some work with Blackest Night, correct?
What?
Right. Yep, and Blackest Night, Tales of the Core. I got a 6-page story in the first one and a 12-page story in the third one.
Wow.
Very nice. Very, congratulations,
sir. Mike Norton,
Oh, no.
And the last thing that I wanted to talk with you about as far as upcoming projects is something that I think you've had in the can for a while, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the original graphic novel that you worked on with Christos Gage, right?
Right, yep. It's for Vertigo Crime. It's still not on the schedule, but they have announced the first two in the line, the one that Azzarello wrote and the other one by Ian Rankin. But somewhere down the line, Area 10 will be coming out. That's written by Christos N. Gage. And, that's our crime OGN. So right, so that'll be on the schedule too.
You did that when you were like 16, right?
We think Chris Gage would be seven, because he's like really young.
The same comics I did when I was 16. This I did back in 2006, I think. It was in between issues of Queen and Country when Greg was working on 52.
Okay. So. Is it hard for you to do something and then not have it come out for like 3 or 4 years? Is that as an artist?
I mean, that's the only time I've had to do it so far.
Okay.
But yeah. it's a little frustrating. I mean, you know, to disappear for a year and work on a comic and then not have it come out for a while is a little bit disconcerting. But I mean, I went into it knowing that, you know, they had to get the bigger name guys booked out first. You know, they have to launch the line the same way they did, you know, the Minx line. You know, and but I, you know, everybody takes a little bit longer to do theirs. And, you know, I barreled through and got mine done.
So. Well, sure, I know just from the point of view, you do something and you want it to be out there, but from an artist, I'm sure that you probably feel like you're a different, maybe not a different grade of artist, but you've obviously evolved as an artist over the last 3 years, so will it be hard for you to see that come out and you'd be like, oh, I would totally have done that different, or, you know, I have, you know, better sense of, you know, this now. So is it weird for you to have stuff come out that long after you've worked on it for that reason?
Well, I mean, you know, as soon as I get a book done, I know that there's a million things that I'd do different if I started it the day after I put it up on the FTP. You know, so I mean, stuff that's like a few years old, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I would change, but you know, I mean, you just kind of have to go with it. I mean, you know, let it stand as it is. I mean, I just saw some lettered pages, I guess a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it's not bad, you know? Like, I figured I would hate it, but, you know, it looks like, you know, the last issue of Queen and Country, you know, my, like, number 32, it kind of looks like that. A little more harsh edge.
Oh, Mike just said that looked like shit.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, well, good sir. Is there anything else that we need to be aware of that's coming out from the masterful talents of Mr. Chris Somney?
No, I mean between the Mighty and Blackest Night. Oh, I've got a pinup in number 2 of Viking.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that a beautiful book?
Oh, it's gorgeous. I hate that Nick Klein.
I just said that just about an hour ago. It's really impressive.
Well, that's good. And what issue is that going to be on?
Number 2.
All right. So the next one.
The only thing I've really learned from this podcast is that one, you should be suspicious if an artist says he likes your work. Yeah, if he doesn't hate you, you need to be hated is better than being loved.
Well, you always say you like them. I mean, you always pick the people that we talk to. You say you like them when you do, but when they're not around, you say I hate them. Because I like it, you know.
Well, Chris, I like
artists who have died. Does that count?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I really like Alex Toth's work. You
that's
know,
cool.
I don't
he's
Alex
dead as
Toth
shit. You can say whatever.
Yeah. You know, like, you can... those guys I really like. But, you know, Mike Norton and Tim Sweeney, no, I fucking hate them.
Well, Chris, I think it's easy to say that you're one of the most hated artists in comic books today. And I think that you should take that as a compliment.
Not before, at least after this podcast.
No, that's it's honestly, I hear that almost every time that you come up in conversation at a convention.
I hate him.
Is an artist, I hate him. And that's always the compliment of he is so good. And I hope that people check out The Mighty, and especially some of your older black and white stuff, like obviously Queen and Country, which I'm a huge fan of, but the graphic novel that you did with Andy Parks, Capote.
That's
in Kansas.
That's a fantastic book.
Capote in Kansas is an amazing piece of work, and I hope that the shelf life on that is really goes on for a long time, and people are able to enjoy that, because that's the first time I ever saw your work, and I've been a fan of yours ever since.
Well, thanks, sir. No, here's, let's keep our fingers crossed that there would be like an omnibus edition or something fancy one day.
Oh, that would be.
I know that there's a couple of scenes that Ambie never got around to writing that he really wanted to stick in there.
All right, well, fantastic.
I don't know that I'll draw them, but he wanted to write them.
I'm not going to draw. Well, Mr. Somni, it is always a pleasure, and I know you won't be a stranger. We're going to see you up here in September for the Windy City Comic Con, and folks that are listening to this that come in for the show, definitely hit up Chris first thing, because he does some of the best convention sketches of anybody out there, and if you want to check out some of his handiwork, you can go to chrissomni.com, and that's spelled SAMNEE. So, and I'll try and remember to link that in the show notes for you.
Or if you're foolish enough, you can follow me on Twitter and find out what beer or coffee I'm drinking at the moment.
Are you a beer drinker?
Yeah.
That means everybody, he's an alcoholic, you guys. He laughs like that.
You are from the St. Louis area, and it's kind of the law down there.
Yeah, you drink to take the pain away.
Oh, it's like people from Detroit and St. Louis are all the drunkest I know.
Well, are you a Budweiser man if you're from St. Louis?
No, not so much. Right now I'm drinking a Surly Bitter Brewer from Minneapolis.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Pick those up while we're on vacation.
There you go. You know, I like
some Primo.
The Shafley there in St. Louis is pretty good.
Oh, Shafley's lovely.
I do like the Shafley. Yeah, speaking of St. Louis and Windy City, you're going to be coming up with Cullen Bunn and Brian Hurt and Matt Kent, correct?
We'll all be there together, but I don't think we're carpooling.
I was going to ask you if you guys are just going to load up in a van or something.
They're not talking right now.
So. The pencil van. That's how we do it in Chicago.
I think that they can get there on their own. with Laura, I mean, if she's gonna buy stuff at IKEA, there's only so much room.
There's gonna be a lot of cheap furniture in the back seat.
Along with our luggage and stuff, I think that only two of us can fit in a car.
I was gonna say, with how much she likes IKEA, you guys are gonna be driving a U-Haul up here.
We've taken a U-Haul to Chicago before. I'm not proud of it.
That's nice. Well, Mr. Somni, you have a good night. Tell Laura that we all said howdy, and we will see you online and on Twitter and in September.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Hey, anytime. You know that, Chris.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right. See you too. Bye-bye. Later. There you go. The most hated man in comics.
Total dickhole.
Punk ass bitch is what he is.
Every time
he and Hurt aren't coming together because two guys that pretty in one vicinity just blows up.
Is Somni pretty too?
He looks like he's in a boy band.
Yeah, Jesus. But they got Cullen Bunn to offset everything.
Oh, that's nice. Jesus Christ. Holy, wow. Sorry about that, Cullen.
Cullen, you know I'm.
We
kidding.
Still like you.
You know I'm kidding.
Is he hideous? Actually,
I follow Cullen on Twitter, and he's always working out. So I'm expecting Cullen to come looking like Carrot Top or something.
Be an ugly guy with muscles.
Oh, I didn't say that.
No, I don't even know. I've never met Cullen.
Cullen is a great guy.
I talked to them online, but I don't know them.
That's they're all great. That's a good St. Louis group. And Matt Kent is a fantastic artist as
well. Is it Claymore in that group?
He's Kansas City.
Oh yeah, he's near.
But they're all gonna be cruising through St. Louis, I think, for a signing before Windy City. So we got more details coming up for
vest.
Not that part of St. Louis. They're going to be in like U City. So, all right, let's wrap this one up. I want to remind everyone to help support the Hero Initiative. You can go to www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. There is another benefit going on right now that I think the eBay auction has closed by the time that this episode airs. But the Josh Josh Metter's benefit auction has been going on. I'm sure that there will be other auctions.
Buy my Jennifer's body cover. No, it's already gone by the time you guys hear this. But
yeah, but
let's make it fuck.
Josh Metter's is a really well liked artist in the comic book community who is very ill and is seeking some alternative treatment right now. And there are a lot of really compassionate artists and writers and comic book industry folks that are trying to help. Josh raise money so he can keep living. So check out some of the Josh Metter stuff online. And
some
if you
awesome
see,
stuff in there.
Yeah.
Steve Kurth donated like
a lot
70
of stuff.
Pieces. I felt really bad because I was like, I had one piece at home. Like, I could send it.
All right. One way that you can help out Around Comics is by leaving an iTunes music review. And just go to the iTunes music store, leave a review, just like Sid Sinatra and Robert and Eliza, who were here a couple weeks ago, the folks from New York. They're here with Mike from Texas. We wanted to thank all of them for making Dark Tower a destination on their vacations
hot
here.
Hot spot.
And Robert and Eliza were nice enough to leave a review, a really nice review. And I'm really sorry for dragging you guys to that Korean bar afterwards, guys. So
when you come to meet Chris, it doesn't just end when the show is over.
You're going out for kimchi.
You're going out for an evening. It's a date.
Kimchi making me hungry, brother.
Oh, it was good. Some fried pork.
Listen,
and kimchi.
Listen,
and
brother. It was.
We
making
have
me hungry.
We have a new community at Around Comics, which you haven't dropped by the new community yet. At Around
Comics. I gotta tell you, I suck at being on the web. Hey, ask anybody.
Come by. Say hi. Say hi. It is really an awesome community section.
Try. I've kind of got a new message board policy.
Good. That's you should stay away from the internet. you should. It's good for you to not whenever you know like screen names from the DC message boards get angry, it's not
mad.
A good thing, Mike. But we don't put up with that over at Around Comics. No sorry. Really glad that people are getting a grasp of the community features and the 100 days of 100 bullets. I think by the time this airs, we're on issue 18, 19, something like that. And that has been really fun to read an issue of 100 bullets each day and then go and have a discussion group about that issue. And it's been really awesome. And Brian Azzarello and Eduardo Rizzo are fucking genius. That series
think,
is amazing.
I think that piece together, probably puts them in that category.
Amazing series to go back, and I had read like the
first
50 issues.
I have to go back
and
read it.
That one's in your head and out. You got to start again.
And we've talked about this before. I don't know if it's you or me or Scotty or some. The problem with that book is you would take so long between trades that by the time it comes out, you forgot what happened.
There's
and
so
you
many
cannot
characters.
Forget what happens in that book.
I just
or Azzarello will stomp
hot.
You with his words. I mean, the story will beat you up.
That's why we're doing 100 issues in 100
idea.
Days. Yeah. So it's if you want to jump on, you can go to aroundcomics.com. It's in the community section. You can catch up on those issues and then jump in, or you can go to the Tom versus the Flash.
I don't think anyone's talking about anything in that. I barely go there.
I'm too busy. I'll talk about
stuff.
I'll talk about stuff. All right. Well, speaking of Tom versus the Flash, go listen to that.
Yeah.
Check me out on 11 o'clock comics. Mike and Crank still do Crankcast. Sal and Scotty and Matt and Braxton are doing the League of Nobodies. Tim, when is your podcast coming out?
Yeah, you don't want that.
When's the newsletter?
Yeah.
The mimeograph newsletter.
I throw shit on my DeviantArt account, Colt Noble on DeviantArt. Colt Noble's a comic I'm working on. It makes sense if you put it all together. But I always update there and I post blogs and shit. But me and internet are just not. We're not cool.
I like that about you though.
Yeah. No, I go on He-Man.org and post my custom action figures.
I love it. Wow.
I love this.
Wow. Wow.
It's true.
Man. Wow.
It's true. Yeah. Right. I post custom action figures.
And Hackslash.
Triclops with a knife.
The last issue of Hackslash came out was a great jumping on point, correct?
The free comic 22. That one, I pity if you put that was your jump on point. I'm sorry. Oh. But Entry Wound, probably still on shelves, only 250. really good entry point. And then 23 comes out next week. So that. Okay. And also, that's not a good jumping on point either.
Get the
you know,
omnibus.
Just wait. Just
buy them all. Go there and get them. Get the omnibus.
Yeah. Buy 24 or get the entry wound.
Well, I'll tell you what. Get Saga of the Swamp Thing at in-stock trades and then add on the Hack/ because, omnibus and get to that $50 for your free shipping.
Sure. And so you know, if it makes it tie together, I base the structure of Hack/ on Swamp Thing. On the Swamp Thing series.
What? So,
seriously?
Yeah, the structure is based on the every so issues you have a kind of light issue. You know how he did the Pogo issue? Well, this is a whole it's a whole episode by itself. But no, I based the structure of it on, you know, the Pogo issue and then all the characters tying together. It's all based on the structure of Swamp Thing. So there, nobody cares.
No, I'm just thinking about it now, trying to like
no idea.
It wow, is. It's based great. On the structure as
well. Well, that's very cool. All right.
That look wasn't like what? It was more me running through, like, oh, and then, yeah, Swamp Thing's in the last three issues.
Yeah, that too. He's kind of a character.
And then Mike, Green Arrow, Black Canary coming out monthly. You've got the.
Yes, last issue of Trinity out this week. First trade out this week of Trinity, which is kind of funny.
Nice.
And I like how they do that.
When does the Blue Beetle co-feature start?
June.
Okay. And that is going to be in what comic?
Booster Gold.
Booster.
Ooh, nice. Booster Fantastic.
Gold.
So
Booster Gold and Green Arrow by Canary Monthly. Go buy them. And when it gets solicited by the Waiting Place compendium.
Oh, really? Reminds me. Well, I don't think I have to get that
for my fiance.
You know, in
the only also, comic book she's read the entire.
Really, Waiting Place is perfect. Yeah. Also, an entry wound. Hack/ entry wound. Mike did some art. The first premiere of his creator-owned character, The Answer. Yeah. Premieres in Hack/ entry wound. Yeah. So there you go. That's geeky.
Very cool. And then the Blue Beetle co-features are written by Matt Sturgis.
Yes.
And that's a good tease. Come back next week, folks.
Woo-ha.
So, all right.
We're
everyone.
Not going to do that all the time, right? Like the woo-ha.
That's new. They just added that. You got to do it now.
All right, no.
You don't have the requisite number of pieces of flair, Tom, for the show.
I want to thank everyone for being here this week. Tom and Mike and Tim and
thank you, sir.
Everyone thank you. In the Peanut Gallery and Mr. Mark Beatty for hosting us, as always, at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. Everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime...
In between time.
Thank you.
Sal usually does that. Sorry.
We'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
You should just edit in a cutout of Sal doing it and just add it in at that point.
Sal forgets now.
I'm already gone by the time you get to this point. Once you get to voicemails, I've checked out.
Expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009. Says it punk, says it's great, but it's made of a fire.